الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani channel, there are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salawat ala Nabi. Peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one hadith, the Prophet alayhi salam told us a great blessing of reciting Durood Sharif. He said, Man salla alayya, the one who recites salat upon me, balaghatni salatuhu, his recitation of salat reaches me, wa sallaytu alayhi, and I pray for his forgiveness. What's the natija when we send Durood Sharif, salawat ala nabi? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prays for us, and the blessings are not limited to that. That was sufficient. If the mercy to all mankind, rahmatulil alamin, prays for you, what more can you ask for? The hadith continues, وَكُتِبَتْ لَهُ سِوَى ذَلِكَ عَشْرُ حَسَنَاتٍ, and in addition to that, 10 good deeds are written for the person who sends salat ala nabi, peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, dear brothers, it's very important that we remember our beloved alayhi salam in the form of reciting Durood Sharif upon him daily. Try to take some time out, inshallah, and try to devote some time to remembering your beloved alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam remembered us throughout his life. When he was born, what were the words on his blessed lips? What did he utter? Rabbi habli ummati, Rabbi habli ummati, Rabbi habli ummati. Oh Allah, hand over the affair of my ummah to me. Throughout his life, he cried for us. And when he passed away, the Sahabi, the fortunate Sahabi who was there, when the Prophet ﷺ was being lowered into his blessed grave, this companion narrates that even that at that time, I saw the lips of the Prophet ﷺ moving, and he was saying, Ummati, 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 my Ummah, my Ummah. And then in Kanzul Ummal, the hadith book, there is a hadith wherein the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, until Qiyamah, I will call out in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ummati, Ummati, Ummati. I will remember my Ummah. I will ask Allah to have mercy upon them. This is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we can't take time out daily to recite Durood Sharif, to utter Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we need to work on that. We need to better ourselves, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all this capability, this tawfiq, to remember our Prophet alayhi salam daily and to recite salat upon him. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, let's make some good intentions prior to listening to the bayan. As the Prophet alayhi salam has said, afdalul amali an-niyatu sadiqa. The greatest action is having a truthful intention. What kind of intentions can we make? We make the intention that I will listen to the entire speech to gain sacred knowledge, inshallah. I will sit respectfully, inshallah. I will avoid being lazy, avoid all forms of distraction, inshallah. And I will listen with the intention of self-improvement, inshallah. And whatever I remember from the bayan, from the speech, I make the intention to act upon it myself, and to spread that knowledge to others as well, inshallah. Let me begin the topic with a very powerful account which is mentioned in the hadith book Shu'abul Iman. This is narrated by Sayyiduna Nafi' rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. He relates that Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the son of Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, this Sahabi Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar was traveling somewhere with his friends when they stopped at a particular place and they spread the tablecloth They were about to eat and consume some food. The place that they stopped, they saw a shepherd, someone who grazes sheep, herds sheep. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala said to the shepherd, "Come, join us, have some food with us." And that shepherd said that, "I can't because I'm fasting." Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu replied to him and said, "In this hot weather, scorching heat, you're fasting and you're doing this job as well, you're herding the sheep as well." And he replied, the shepherd replied that, "Look, I am trying to make up for all the time that I've wasted." This is a realization that we need to come to as well, that every day that passes will never come back. If we haven't spent that day doing good, then it's a day wasted. So this shepherd said, "I'm trying to recompense for all the days that I've passed. I'm trying to make up for them now. I'm trying to fast, keep this voluntary fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Then Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala and said to him, testing his taqwa, his piety, his God consciousness, he said to him, "You know these goats that you're herding, give one of them to us." And he said, "Look, they don't belong to me. They belong to my owner, my master." So he was a slave. This shepherd was a slave. Now Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala again asks him a question and tests his taqwa, his fear of Allah, his God consciousness. He said to him, "Look, you know your owner, say to your owner that a wolf came and ate one of the goats. That's why there's one less." So this is what Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar said to him, to test him, to test his taqwa. They even said to him, "Look, we'll give you some of the meat. Don't worry, we'll give you some of the meat. You can open your fast with it." Allahu Akbar, he replied, "You're telling me to tell my owner that a wolf came, but what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything. He hears everything. He knows everything. He is Sami'a, He is Basir, He is Alim. How am I going to answer in His court? I may deceive my master, my owner, and get away with it, but how can I give any excuse in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment? How am I going to give account for this?" And this is when Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu realized that this person truly is a pious individual. That no matter what the case, he is not willing to cause any nuqsan for his akhirah. And that's the sign of a pious person. They don't compromise. Today, if someone offers us something monetarily or something else, or rank or status, we fall for it. But these people in the past, subhanAllah, their hearts were filled with taqwa. They didn't look at what was being offered. They looked at the akhirah. They looked at answering in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they knew that whatever you're given in the dunya, it's nothing before the bounties that Allah has stored for us in the akhirah. And even if you attain all these bounties in the dunya unlawfully, in an illegitimate way, you have to give account for them. So what Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala did as a reward, to reward this slave, when he returned to Medina, he bought all of those goats. He bought the slave as well. He freed the slave and he gave all the goats to him as a gift as well. This is how he rewarded him for his taqwa and the beautiful answers that he gave. So what do we learn from this account? We learn that when you tell the truth, when you cling to the truth, and when you stay with the truth no matter what, Allah Ta'ala blesses you in ways that you can never imagine. This person didn't imagine at that time that he'd be bought by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar, or all the goats would be gifted to him. But look, Allah Ta'ala blessed him. So Sidq, which is truth, telling the truth, speaking the truth, acting upon the truth, this is a great significant amal action in Islam. And the definition given by the scholars of Islam is that when you say something which is in accordance to reality, the waqi, the haqiqah, that is you telling the truth. But when you say something which is not in accordance to reality, that is a lie, that is false. So this is how we differentiate between truth and falsehood. And when we study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that even before he announced his prophethood, being truthful and speaking the truth was one of his most prominent qualities. In fact, amongst all of the Quraysh, he was known as As-Sadiq and Al-Amin. He was known as the truthful one, the trustworthy one. People knew him like that because the Prophet ﷺ never spoke a lie in his life. The Prophet ﷺ always spoke the truth. The truth prevails, as they say. So the people knew him as As-Sadiq. And when he announced his prophethood at the age of 40, and he told the people that, look, revelation has descended upon me, what happened? Some of his own family members, tribes people, they rejected the message. When they rejected the message, what did the Prophet ﷺ give as an evidence to them for their rejection being wrong? He said to them that, I have stayed amongst you for many years. فَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمُرًا مِّن قَبْلِهِ. I've stayed with you for a long, long time. And you've seen me. I never lie. I never speak a lie. I never do anything which is against the truth. You know me by the title as As-Sadiq. So for you to reject my message now is illogical. It's irrational. It's wrong. But this is the biggest dalil that the Prophet ﷺ gave for his own dhat, being a prophet. That, look, my life is before you. You've seen me. I don't lie. I don't cheat. I don't deceive people. I don't defraud people. And the Quraysh, they would keep their entrustments with the Prophet ﷺ. That's how much they believed in him. That's how reliable he was in their eyes. But when it came to accepting Islam, some of them rejected. So speaking the truth is very, very powerful. And the Prophet ﷺ was successful in his early mission in spreading Islam because people knew him as As-Sadiq and Al-Amin. Those who accepted Islam knew about his truthfulness. So we too should cling on to truthfulness. And we should never ever go towards lying, falsehood, just for a personal benefit or a small benefit in the dunya. And remember this tongue that Allah Ta'ala has given us. It may be small in size, small piece of flesh in our mouth, but the damage it causes, Allahu Akbar. We've all seen how much damage it causes. Blood relatives, they become distant and separated. Why? Because of the tongue. People who were the most friendly with one another, because of the tongue, all of a sudden their relationship breaks down. Because of the tongue, blood brothers even fall apart. Some people fall out with their parents, parents fall out with their children because of the tongue and the harmful effects of speaking wrongly. Relationships that have been built over decades because of misuse of the tongue, because of lying against someone, accusing someone, because of spreading rumors regarding someone, those relationships break down as well. So if we want to maintain our relationships, especially with our blood relatives, our loved ones, and the wider society and community, our friends, then we have to maintain the truth. We have to speak the truth. We have to uphold the truth. And inshallah, when we do that, people around us will also speak the truth. Look how powerful the tongue is. That when you speak a few kalimat, blessed kalimat with the tongue, a person becomes a Muslim. He may have lived a life of kufr, of shirk. But when he speaks a few words with sincerity, with faith, he utters these words, then he becomes a Muslim. All his previous sins are forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam alluded to this when he said in a hadith, "Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah wa wajabat lahu al-jannah." Whoever recites la ilaha illallah, he enters jannah, and jannah becomes compulsory for him, becomes wajib for him. So this is the benefit, the positive, you could say the positive aspect of using the tongue correctly and speaking truthfully. But when a person speaks a lie, when a person speaks wrongly, then he commits many, many blunders. He commits so many other mistakes as well. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us about this so many centuries ago. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the majority of sins performed by human beings are committed by the tongue. Majority of our sins are through our tongues. So if you control the tongue, then you will decrease the sins you commit. And that's what we want. We want an increase in good deeds. We want a decrease in bad deeds. Let's listen to what Sayyiduna Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi spoke about. And he mentions this aspect of speaking the truth, using the tongue properly, utilizing it for maximum benefit, and avoiding all those things that can lead to one falling into hardship by speaking incorrectly. Sayyiduna Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi says, just like a date tree starts off as a twig, such a twig which is very weak in the beginning, in the outset. If a child were to pull at it or a goat was to eat it, then its root is finished. That's how weak it is. A date tree when it starts off. But then when it's continuously watered, it's looked after, it's maintained, it's preserved, what happens? It grows so strong. It's nourished until a strong foundation is established. Then the twig that was once very weak now gives shade and fruit. You see the date trees, how big they become, how strong they are, how powerful they are. It starts off very weak, but with that constant nurturing, providing nourishment to it, watering it, maintaining it, preserving it, look what it becomes. And he says, similarly, the truth is weak inside the heart initially, but then a person begins to look after it, meaning speaking the truth, doing what is right, acting upon the truth. He protects it and looks after it, refrains from lying, and enables truth to prosper and flourish. Due to this protection, Allah Azza wa Jal grants truth such strength and showers blessings upon the person speaking the truth. Then, when he speaks the truth and he protects the truth, a person reaches such a stage that his speech becomes medicine for those who commit sin and are immersed in transgression. Here, Sayyiduna Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi is indicating towards the Rijalu Salihin, the pious men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Awliyaullah rahimahumullahu ta'ala, who are described in the Quran, Ala inna awliyaullahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. The Awliyaullah, there's no fear upon them, they won't grieve. These people who spend their lives refining their speech and always calculating what they say, always being mindful and careful regarding what they say, when they nurture that what they say and the truth that they speak, subhanallah, Allah ta'ala places such blessings on their tongue, such power on their tongue, such efficacy on their tongue, that when they speak something, it could be very simple. Something like me and you would say, like, we say to someone, read namaz. We might say it 100 times. We might say it 1,000 times. But it won't have the same effect. But a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a true waliullah, when he says it once, those words pierce the hearts. It penetrate the hearts. And then a person starts offering salah. And we've seen many examples of this in our age as well. One beautiful example is the founder of Dawat Islami, Qibla Mawlana Ilyas Qadri, Damat Barakatul Aliyah. That when he delivers a lecture, subhanallah, many, many people do tawbah. They repent from their sinful ways. They start to live a life in accordance to Sharia and Sunnah. They begin to rectify themselves and better themselves. He's delivering a speech in Karachi. It's transmitted all across the world. People are changing their lives. What is that? What does he have at the end of the day? This is a ruhani spiritual power. And this is the blessings of maintaining and preserving what you say with your tongue. When you speak correctly, when you speak properly, when you speak only that which is haq, when you remain far away from batil and falsehood, or when you're sincere in calling out to people, inviting them towards the deen of Allah, then this is the natija, this is the outcome. And this is where unfortunately we fall short. We have great shortcomings in this regard. We might speak one day positively, the next day we're speaking negatively. Or we might say something, we don't back it up with our actions. We might say, oh, we shouldn't lie, but then we're seen lying in our transactions. We're seen lying to people. Some people become so habitual in lying, they don't even realize they're lying. But a person who's listening to them, he realizes this person lies too much, he exaggerates too much. So this is something we want to avoid. We want to speak only that which is truth. And if we can't speak the truth, and if we've got this urge to speak a lie or something wrong, then that's where we need to go against our nafs and shaitan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that man samata najah, that whoever remained silent attained salvation. Why? Because when you're silent, no words come out of your mouth. You're not accountable because you haven't said anything. You've not hurt someone with your words. You've not insulted someone with your words. And this is a great success in itself, because there's no hujjah, there's no proof against you. But if you give your tongue license to say what it likes, whenever it likes, and you try to justify, you say to people, you know me, I just speak my mind. I don't hold anything back. That's my habit. That's my adat. That's my nature. I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not this. I'm not that. People try to justify when they speak wrong, or when they insult others. And listen to this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again warned us many centuries ago that using your tongue incorrectly or hurting others with your actions, your fellow believers, this is a great crime in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man aadha musliman faqad aadhani," that whoever harms a Muslim, whoever disheartens a Muslim, whoever hurts the feelings of a Muslim, faqad aadhani, then he has indeed harmed me. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't think you're just harming that fellow Muslim, you're causing harm to me. وَمَنْ آذَانِي, and whoever harms me, فَقَدْ آذَ اللَّهِ, he has offended Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person offends the Prophet ﷺ and offends Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cannot expect any sort of khayr entering his life, meaning for doing that action. Of course, the only thing that will bring is consequences in the form of punishment, consequences in the form of hardship, consequences in the form of difficulty. Therefore, we have to stay far away from hurting others, their feelings, speaking in an insulting manner towards them, being rude to them, impolite to them. And this is all part of controlling the tongue and only saying that which is beneficial. So going back to what Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi said, he said, when you speak the truth and you continue to speak the truth, and Allah Ta'ala gives your tongue such strength that when you speak, people listen to you. When you speak, it affects the people. And then he asked, he said, have you seen such people who have obtained such a status? And then he answered himself, he said, yes, I have. And he says, by Allah, I have seen such people. And they are Sayyiduna Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, Sayyiduna Sa'id bin Jubayr rahmatullahi alayhi, and other fortunate people like them. He began to mention the Salihin of his era, the people in his day and age, who were great men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the awliyaullah. And he said that when they speak, people change. When they speak, people are willing to transform their lives for the better. He says, they are those people through whose speech Allah Almighty gives life to thousands of people. Allah revives the dead hearts. In other words, by listening to their speech, thousands of people have left the path of evil and became travelers of the path of righteousness due to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that we need to work on. Everybody today is complaining about something or another. Oh, my children don't listen to me. Family doesn't listen to me. You know, I tell them to do good. But have we focused upon our speech, what we say? Do we even cling to the truth? Or are we lying at every opportunity? Do we lie in our business deals? Do we lie in other matters? Do we look for momentary success and we think lying is a means to attain momentary success? Have we become habitual in lying? If we have, then how can your words have effect? Even if you say something good to your children, your sibling, your family members, they won't listen. Because as you just heard, to have that efficacy, to have that power in your words, you have to speak the truth. You have to stand up for the truth. You have to uphold the truth. Sidq, this is what the deen promotes. And the life of the Prophet ﷺ is before us, that before announcement of prophethood, before revelation, the people knew him as As-Sadiq. That tells you everything. The people knew the Prophet ﷺ in that era when the Arabs were doing every wrong under the sun. They were burying their daughters alive. They were fornicating. They were killing each other. They were going to war for the most pettiest, trivial reasons. They had no moral compass. They were doing every indecent action. At that time, in that era, the Prophet ﷺ was known as As-Sadiq and Al-Amin. He was known as the truthful one, the trustworthy one. The people gave their entrustments to him, their belongings to him, because they knew he was reliable. Would people do the same with us today? That's the question. Would people call us truthful? Would people refer to us as trustworthy? Or are we known in our neighborhoods, amongst our people, as those who defraud others? Those who won't even let any opportunity go by to benefit illegally from others, scam others? How are we known amongst our people? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to adopt the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to speak the truth. This is what the Quran instructs. The Quran tells us to be with the truthful as well. The Quran tells us to be in good company. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. O believers, fear Allah and join the truthful ones. The truthful ones, of course, are those who speak the truth, who act upon the truth, who worship Allah wholeheartedly and sincerely, who stay away from every sin. Are we amongst such people? Obviously, we're humans, we're not prophets, alayhi muslim. We can end up sinning, we can end up erring. But we have still with us today people who, mashallah, most of their time is spent in doing good deeds. Most of their time is spent in doing acts of khair, acts of goodness, acts which please Allah and them and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is such people that we must accompany and cling to, inshallah. By the blessings of being in their company will inshallah rub off on us, and we will also become from the truthful and the righteous as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept what has been said and enable all of us to act upon it. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The same.